Welcome to 3GT, a podcast where a pastor, parishioner, and professor have lively conversations on practical Christian living from a Reformed perspective. For more information, visit our website at 3GT.fm.
Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Three Guys Theologizing. Those three guys are identified as a professor, a pastor, and a parishioner. But there are real people behind those titles, and I'm glad to be here today, meeting with Barry York, who is professor and now presidente of the Reformed Theological Presbyterian Seminary in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I had a dream last night that I was president of the United States, and I feel like I now really know what Barry feels like every single day when he wakes up as president. So, and our parishioner is Scott Hunt, who is, as most of our listeners are familiar, is a lawyer and also a ruling elder in the Reformed Presbyterian Church in Marion, Indiana. And today I am, well, every day I am Kyle Borg, and I am pastor of the Winchester Reformed Presbyterian Church in little known Winchester, Kansas. And we are Three Guys Theologizing. So we're glad that you are tuning in. And today we're going to talk about the earnestness of preaching. I remember, I'm going to open with a bit of an anecdotal story. I remember many years ago, I was talking to some friends. This was before I was a pastor. And we were talking about their local church, and we were asking them, well, what do you think about your pastor? How is his preaching? Maybe sometimes a dangerous question to ask because people get really honest and can sometimes be very critical with a question like that. But I remember very clearly that my friend, as she started to tell me about her pastor, said, you know, he's got a spiritual gift. And I was like, oh, well, what's that spiritual gift? And she said, he has the spiritual gift of making any passage of the Bible boring.
I think a lot of people have that spiritual gift.
A lot of people have that spiritual gift. And I have lived in perpetual fear of that very reality in my own pulpit ministry. But really, what we are going to be talking about today is in opposition to that, in one sense. Maybe we'll get into more details. But what we want to do is, what does it mean to preach with earnestness? And what is earnestness? Biblically, do we see this as something that we should do? And it will be very useful to get both a professor, because Barry teaches preaching, but also a parishioner's viewpoint on this from the pew. And so I think, so that we're all on the same page, maybe we can begin by discussing a bit of a definition. When we hear about earnestness, not just in the pulpit, but in general, what does that word mean?
One of the first things that comes to my mind is this, a sense of sincerity, intense devotion. Another word that I might use is the idea of urgency, that the minister isn't just talking about the scripture passage, but he's preaching it with his whole heart as he brings it to the congregation. So that's the first ideas that come to mind as I think about what it means to be earnest.
I tend to think of seriousness as well.
Mm-hmm.
I like the word urgency. But when I'm preaching, when I'm listening to the preaching, I like to hear that sense of urgency, the need to pay heed and to respond to the proclaimed word. That urgency, I think, is part of that earnestness.
Mm-hmm. The guy means business. So I like the idea of the seriousness. How about you, Kyle?
Yeah. You know, I usually, I think those are all good, and I would not personally reduce it to one angle or, mm-hmm. or to just one simple definition. So I like what you guys have said. I might add the element of sincerity, mm-hmm. That earnestness is, you know, we often think, when we think of earnestness, of intensity and conviction. You know, I do think sometimes it's easy to mistaken, and I say this as somebody who's never had volume problems, but we think of loudness. Yep. Well, that person's being earnest. Right. But more than that, more than intensity, or more than something that we can just conjure up with inflection or the volume of the voice, earnestness is really sincerity. It is a sincere believing, I think, of especially in the context of preaching, of what you are preaching. And you know, and that stands opposed to sometimes, and I remember sitting in the pew, and I remember even now as a pastor, one of my biggest fears is, do I sincerely believe what I'm going to be mm-hmm. saying? You don't want to just go through the motions. And I think people in the pew can pick it out pretty easily when a pastor is going through the motions. He's telling us what he ought to be telling us, but there's that lack of sincerity. So when I think of a definition, I think of all that you guys have said, but I've also thought, you know, a sincerity to it.
I like that, Kyle. And actually, I'm getting ready to preach this week on one of the qualities of heavenly wisdom from James chapter 3, which is sincere. And the Greek word means without hypocrisy. So when it comes to preaching, that you're not up there in a hypocritical fashion. I think part of this whole thing gets into not only what the minister is saying, but how he represents the gospel that he's preaching as well. So there has to be a life behind the message for it to really be a sincere and earnest message.
Yeah, so and I like that. And, you know, I know our context here is primarily on preaching, but you know, Scott, as the one who encourages your children and does family worship, you know, this type of earnestness needs to mark that as well.
Sure.
So when we think of our definition of earnestness, and we think either of the pulpit or the way in which we raise our children in the fear and the admonition of the Lord, how do you guys, is earnestness something that can be taught? Is earnestness more something that is caught? How do you think people can get a sense of urgency or earnestness when it comes to the Word of God?
One of the things I always tell students when I'm teaching them preaching is that fire begets fire. And one of the things that I've always sought to do is to be around other men that live a life that I want to live or emulate. So when it comes to preaching, you know, you have certain people, certain men who model the type of preaching that you want to do. And so I listen to that or get to know those men. And that, I think, impacts you as you're around it. I think that's true for not just preaching, but for the Christian life in general, that if you want to be earnest follower of Christ, then you should be around other earnest followers of Christ. A lot of young people get off track because of the companionships they have with others, and a lot of times you're calling, if you're trying to work with someone, you say one of the things you really need to do is put yourself around others that will stimulate you towards godliness and holy living. And so I think that's really true with respect to preaching as well.
I think one of the things that you know, we're talking about the sincerity, the sincerity aspect of preaching earnestly. Sincerity only comes from a real heartfelt belief. And so it's not just knowledge. You know, I've heard plenty of pastors that have a lot of knowledge, but the earnestness is not there. It's a love. There's a mm-hmm. love of the Word that has to be there. And so in order, I think earnestness is learned, but it's also received through love of Christ and love of His Word and love of His people. If you have that, that earnestness will be present. You don't have to strive for it necessarily, but that sincerity will be there.
Yeah, I really appreciate that. I appreciate what you both said. I really appreciate what you said there, Scott. You know, I think too, as I've thought about this, you know, how do we get this earnestness? You know, as a pastor, how do I get that in the pulpit? And much in line with what you guys have said, I think it begins with knowing the text as it's been given by the Spirit to discern his mind, to rightly divide the word of truth. You know, if you have an earnestness that lacks a true knowledge, then that's really what we call a blind zeal. It's a blind earnestness. Mm-hmm. It's not according to the truth. And so first and foremost, we do have to know the text. And I sometimes get the sense that that a lot of the time is where preachers want to end. You know, well, I preach the text, I preach the meaning of it, and you can say, well, yeah, you sure did. But right, earnestness is not just knowing the text. It is also, to put it this way, I think it's feeling the truth of the text. And Scott, you began to touch on that. And, you know, I sometimes worry that in our Reformed circles, in our day and age, there is such an emphasis on emotionalism that we can often go in the other direction and act like the truth should not have an impact on our affections and our feeling of the truth. But I think the Bible is very obvious that truth does not just come to us in propositional statements. The truth is something to be felt. It is something to be convicted of. It is something that is to capture us and to, in a sense, set a fire within our hearts. And you know, especially when it comes to preaching, if you're not feeling the truth, even if you know it, well, that's just a cold zeal. That's a cold earnestness. Mm-hmm. You're not entering fully into it. But, and Scott, I really liked what you said. I think the third element of earnestness is not just knowing the text and feeling the truth, but loving the people you're preaching to. Mm-hmm. If you don't have a genuine love, then you have an aimless earnestness. You have an aimless zeal. It's without direction and it's without object. And so I think that element, Scott, that you said of needing to, yes, love God and love the word, but also love the people that you are preaching to. You are bringing God's truth to bear on their hearts. And I think it is a love for the souls of men and women, young and old, that really gives a certain earnestness to preaching.
Mm-hmm. I think that's so important to hear, that preaching is not just an exchange of information where I'm just imparting information from myself to another, but it's really an exchange of energy, that I'm taking what I feel and what God has put into my heart, and by preaching, by faith, by the power of His Spirit, seeking through the proclamation of the Word to drive that energy down into the hearts and minds of those that are listening to God's Word. So I think that's really, really important.
And not to try to take over, but it raises an interesting question in my mind. Barry, you said that it's not just an exchange of knowledge or of words, but an exchange of energy, of passion. I assume that in the life of a pastor, there are times when that energy is just not there, be it from, you know, just the pressures of the world. And so when you get up to preach, what can the parishioners be doing? What do you look for from the parishioners to kind of encourage you to be earnest in your preaching?
Pray, pray, pray. We're so dependent upon the Holy Spirit. I remember Ted Donnelly one time said that, you know, particularly in Reform preaching and in a Reform worship service where we don't have all the bells and whistles that might be available in other contexts, that we rely so much on preaching to have an impact on people's hearts. And if the Holy Spirit doesn't show up, we're in trouble. So we really need to be praying for God's Spirit to be at work. And ministers do get tired, not just physically, but their souls get weary. And it's so important to be buoyed by the congregation through praying for their minister. And of course, getting their own hearts ready, not only just praying that the preacher will be able to do the job, but that their own hearts and minds are ready to receive God's word. You can be kind of struggling in the pulpit, and then all of a sudden you see an eager face, a nodding head, someone who's really engaged with you, and it does encourage you and push you forward to keep preaching.
Yeah, pray definitely. Scott, what you said is so true in the lives of preachers. There are Sunday mornings where you wake up and you don't want to go to the pulpit, and sometimes the only thing driving you to the pulpit is the awareness that if I don't go, who's going to preach, who's going to do this on the Lord's Day morning or evening if I'm not there. And so prayer, definitely. I would also say, and this isn't meant to sound manipulative to anybody who might be listening, but be present. You know, if earnestness is something that is born out of not only knowing the text, but feeling the text, as we already mentioned, it is also born out of a love for the people you're preaching to. You know, when I sit down to think over my sermons and outline them, I am not thinking about, well, what's going to sound really good on sermon audio? What's going to get a lot of downloads? My burden and the burden of every pastor is, what do those who are in my congregation, the congregation rather of Christ that I am preaching to, what is it that those people need? And it can be very deflating when you very personally prepare messages and you get to church and you stand in the pulpit and you realize people aren't here. And I know that sometimes necessity removes you from the congregation. And I don't mean to speak against that by any means. But, you know, I could count so many times in my own ministry where I have prepared a message and I've really felt that truth at work in my heart. And I think to myself, you know, this is for these people. And I get to church and they're not there. Because they'd rather stay in bed or they'd rather do something else on a Sunday morning. That does a lot personally, and I don't mean this manipulatively, but it does a lot to extinguish some of the earnestness because messages are personal and because it's born out of a love for the people you're preaching to. The one other thing that I would say to this great question, so I'm happy to have you take over, Scott. The one other thing I would say is, deal in a forgiving manner with your pastor. You know, as a preacher, I am always aware of wanting to preach not only to convey information, but in a way where the conviction comes out. And that can be hard. You know, we preach the whole counsel of God. And some of the counsel of God, we are more inclined to feel in a very convicting way. And there are other parts of the counsel of God that my own heart is a little cold to. And, you know, it's not easy to bring the whole counsel of God with conviction and earnestness to the people of God. And as much as we labor and strive for that, it's not always going to happen. And so be a forgiving congregation that you know, looks at the efforts of your pastor. Maybe this sermon or that sermon missed the mark a little bit, or you didn't sound like you totally believed what you were preaching, and just be willing to forgive and take what is given, I think. While saying that I don't think that should be a repetitive pattern or a habit in a preacher's life. So Barry can yell at me now for that.
No.
But, well, that's good. Well, I would, Scott, I would especially value your input on this as a preacher. So feel free to critique without names. But as somebody who sits in the pew, or Barry, I know since you became a professor, you've done a little more sitting in the pew than when you were a pastor. I mentioned earlier that I think people can begin to pinpoint when a preacher is not being earnest. What does that look like to you as somebody who's sitting in the pew?
Well, I think a couple of the qualities that come out as I see them would be the minister is not really engaging the congregation, so he's probably tied to his notes too much. He is commenting and saying a whole lot, but he doesn't really have a focus or a theme, or as Lloyd-Jones calls it, a burden that he comes into the pulpit with, but it's a lot of scattered information, and it's hard to see as you're sitting there listening to it how the parts fit with the whole. I do think that some amount of gesturing and, you know, looking at us and engaging us is important as a minister. Not that we want to be overly dramatic in the pulpit, but we should be, our bodies should be reflecting what's in our hearts in some manner. And so to have a little bit of movement and your face reflecting the truths that you're preaching about, all of that, I think, should be there. So sometimes guys preach like they don't, they act like there's not a congregation there. And I think we've really got to make sure that we're engaging, that the people realize that we're wanting them to respond by faith and obedience into what we are proclaiming, and that we're really going for that as we preach. Now I'm turning into the preacher again, but you know what I'm saying, that we want people to, I think earnestness, there's this sense where I want you to believe this. I want you to respond to this in proper ways.
Yeah, a few things, Barry, that you mentioned. I think body language is one of the easiest ways to spot the earnestness of a preacher, at least from my perspective. Posturing, how they're interacting personally with the texts, I think is one way. When you see somebody almost looking defeated in the pulpit, it's quick to tell that they're not being completely earnest. Other times it seems like the preacher, and I'm not speaking of anyone that we all would know in common, but I've
sure.
I've gotten the sense sometimes, I promise you that, Barry. after, you know, you're my preacher for what, close to 15 years, I think, but I'm not speaking about you at all. But there are times when it seems like they're just trying to get through the sermon. A pastor is just, it's sort of like the dad who is just speeding down the road trying to get to the vacation spot, not enjoying the trip, or not, you know, you can sense that in some of the preaching. And when they're just being formal, way too formal. I've heard preachers just like read from a script, and there was really no heart there. So those are some of the things I notice and pick up on when I'm listening to a preacher. And that's not to say they all preach the same. I mean, some guys are just not as animated as others, but that doesn't mean they're not being earnest.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we have to be careful in making, you know, putting too fine a point on some of those things.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great point, which would lead me to my next question, Scott, is how much does personality have to play in this? You know, if I were to assess myself, I have a very loud personality. And yet I know there are men that I went to seminary with, men whom I love, men whom I would sit under their ministry, who have very quiet spirits, very unlike my own. How much does personality play into this? And how might you caution people, like you said, Scott, you don't want to press the point necessarily too hard, but how would you caution people to not jumping to certain conclusions like, oh, that man's a little more quiet spoken, so he must not be earnest. So I guess that's a two-sided question. How much does personality play into this? What cautions might you give to people?
Well, if you're asking me that question, I think personality is essential to know a pastor's personality or anybody's personality. Since we're talking about preaching earnestly, you know, the pastor's personality is going to come out. God doesn't use robots; He uses people. And so we have to, you know, we have to take into account other people's personalities. In my profession, there are attorneys, believe it or not, who are loud and obnoxious, like to hear themselves talk.
Shock.
Yeah. And then there's other attorneys who are quiet, reserved, but very, very effective in their presentation of evidence and their argument. And so I kind of view it that way. There are some pastors who are, you know, on fire and very emotional and loud, and that's great. There are other pastors who are very reserved, but just as effective and effectual in their preaching. So, personality is we can't just look for a certain personality to say that a pastor is being earnest.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I agree so much with that. I think Richard Sibbs, if I remember in volume 5, of his collected work says, you know, the Lord uses all kinds of different men, gifted in all kinds of different ways, to knock on the hearts of all. And you know, with what you've been saying there, Scott, you just think of some of the popular preachers today. You think of a John Piper, whose hand actions look like they're going to swallow everybody in the room up, and who is very emotional in the way that he preaches. And you look at that, and there's an earnestness there that is, you know, whether you totally like the guy or not, there's an earnestness in his preaching. You compare that with a Sinclair Ferguson, who has a very deep Scottish accent, which just lulls me into all kinds of wonderful things. But, you know, Sinclair Ferguson will once in a while raise his voice. But it's more of this Scottish, almost at times, monotone nature. And yet there is an earnestness in his preaching. There are few living preachers that have affected me as much as Sinclair Ferguson. Mm-hmm. Or you compare a John MacArthur, logical, almost unfeeling at times. He almost seems like a robot, but you got to love the guy, you know, and yet there's an earnestness about his pulpit ministry. And so I think it's very important to recognize that, you know, preaching really is the text coming through personality, and God has given us different personalities. Barry, did you have thoughts on that?
No, I really agree that it's not, as you had said earlier, it's not, earnestness doesn't mean volume or you know, how much gesturing you do. It has to fit within your range of personality. Some guys, just as you've alluded to, are just naturally more loud than others, and sometimes they have to tone it down because they could be getting louder and it's really starting to lose the effect or impact upon people, because it's not really earnestness. It becomes like they're almost yelling. I remember one young preacher who just is gifted with a very loud voice, but he was trying to be excited, but it came across to people listening to him as if he was angry. And while angry, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about being earnest. So
it is a cross to bear for some of us.
So I think the importance of a man being himself in the right sense of that word in the pulpit, not putting on a false voice, you know, putting on my quote preacher voice that's different than my normal voice, or doing, you know, gesturing or quoting things that are perhaps isn't something that he's very knowledgeable about or very fitting to the text. I just think you have to be very careful to go back to what we started with, is that you've got to be sincere. You've got to be real in the pulpit, who you really are as a minister.
And I think, too, for me to answer my own question, how would I spot it? You know, I often, and maybe this just has to do with my seminary training, but we were trained so much to not only look at the text, but the spirit of the text. Mm-hmm. And I think it's very easy sometimes to see that a man in the pulpit has not entered into the spirit of the text. And what I mean by that, right, when you come to Ephesians chapter 6, which is all about warfare, it would be very hard, I think personally, it would be very hard to preach that in a very monotone, you know, when Paul says, stand fast, and after having done everything, stand fast. You know, to enter into the spirit of that, it's a call to arms. It's a call to stand and to not retreat. And when you think of a general on a battlefield, they're not going to sit there with their men and say, oh, stand
yes.
fast, you know, in this very boring moment. There is this thing in preaching where you do enter into the spirit of the text. Sometimes it's harder with historical narratives, but I think that's one of the things I look for. That's one of the things I check as I go up to the pulpit. Am I not just preaching the text, but what is the spirit? How is this text intended to land upon my heart and the hearts of others?
And we have to remember, so, preaching is it's to be reaching the heart, the emotions, not just the mind of people. And different texts have different emotions. If you're doing a narrative, a text, there can be a, you know, different emotions that are coming forth in this. If you've got a reconciliation passage with Joseph meeting his brothers and the joy and the surprise of that, or Jesus at the grave of Lazarus and seeing these dear women weeping before him. I mean, those all have emotions in them, and that should be coming out. Not that we're trying to take on the character of somebody and, you know, cry in the pulpit or whatever,
right,
just to drama.
Lamentations would be awful hard to preach. You just sat there and wept the whole time.
Dramatizing the passage, but conveying the proper sense of emotion, I think, is part of being earnest.
Yeah. Well, that's helpful to me as a preacher, and I don't feel too criticized, so I won't go home and lick any wounds now. But I appreciate that and this discussion that we've had, and we want to thank you again for tuning in. Head over to our website, 3gt.xyz. Pretty easy to remember. It has a nice cadence to it. And be sure to check us out and listen to our other episodes, and we look forward to joining you again. We'll see you later.